All right. We'll look at 1 Timothy. We're going to start there. I know that most all of us that are here are deeply concerned with the things of God, not only in our lives, but in others around us, in the lives of other people around us. We desire to help people. We desire to show them what God has for them. And that is very much in harmony with God's desire. And whenever we engage ourselves in desiring to do God's work, it's a good thing to keep in mind what He desires. What does He really want? Because it's more than just what we want. And He's told us, you know, that whatever we want, He'll take care of. Whatever we desire, He'll take care of us. He's made those promises. He's told us in so many, many different places in His Word that He's willing to do whatever it takes to bless our lives. And it's because of His grace, not our goodness. You know, it's because of His goodness. It's not because we're so wonderful and we're so good and, you know, we have so many wonderful things to share. It's because of God's goodness that we have what we have. One of the primary goals that those of us who have been, you know, fellowshipping together for many, many years have in our heart to see come to pass is exactly what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where this is God's desire in verse 4. This is His will. This is what He desires. He will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, that is God's desire. That's not so much our desire first as it is His. You know, yes, we desire that. Because when we do come to a knowledge of the truth, when we come to a full knowledge of the truth, not just knowing what the Scripture says, that's only a part of it. That's only a real small part of it. Knowing what the Scripture says is about this much. It's really believing it and doing it, carrying it out, walking the way the Scripture encourages us to walk, by trusting God wholeheartedly, by doing every day with every situation what we heard testimony of this morning. Where when we're at our wit's end, when we've decided that we cannot do this, that is way beyond our ability, that's way beyond our physical ability, our talents, our resources to accomplish, then we finally get to that point. We say, okay, God, well, You're going to have to do it. We should be willing to do that right off the bat, recognize that it's God's desire to help us. Because His desire ultimately is to have all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, to know His benefits, to know the load of benefits that He bestows upon us day by day, like it says in Psalm 103, right? He daily loads us with benefits. Every day there's a benefit. Every day there's a blessing from God, if we will just allow Him to give it to us, if we'll recognize Him. See? God has a plan on how to do this. We don't have to figure out how to get all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That in and of itself is really a massive undertaking. That's more of an undertaking than the biggest ministry that is in existence today in the world can accomplish. What's the biggest one? I don't know what the biggest one is. There have been huge ones that have evolved over the last, you know, few decades. Because of the internet, television, cable networks, satellite TV, blah, 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 blah. And all these people think that is going to bring people to a knowledge of God. And that is going to have all men to be saved. And yet that was not in God's plan. God had the plan figured out from before the foundation of the world how to get everything right again. Had nothing to do with satellite TV. It had something to do with something that is far greater and far more powerful than any satellite television could ever be. And that is the Spirit of God within each individual believer. That's the Christ in you, the power of God within you. Every believer has Christ in them. Every believer has been promised that if he will just trust in what God says, that the works that Jesus Christ did, you shall do also, and greater works. Do you know what that means? I shake my head sometimes and go, I don't know if I really know what that means. Well, and that's kind of rhetorical because I do know what that means. I don't have to rationalize it. I don't have to try and hide it or run away from it. Because it hasn't happened, maybe. I know what it means, and you know what it means too. Jesus Christ wasn't talking in this weird, you know, metaphorical language. He was saying quite plainly, the works that I do, the works that you will do also, and greater. When I go to my Father, when my work is done, I'm going to give you the task. I'm going to give you the joy of doing the works that I did. Don't you think for a second that Jesus Christ woke up, you know, day after day, bummed out about what was in store? Right? He didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, not another day, God. He didn't do that. He woke up and said, let me at them. Let me have them. Just bring me those hungry souls, Father, and let me fill them. Let me heal them. Let me deliver them. Let me bless them the way you would bless them. That's how to bring all men to be saved. Not by how much we can say. It's what we do. It's what we do with the ability that God has placed within us. We want to move God's word. We want to see His word move over the world. We want to see all men to be saved. And we want to bring it a step further, like God wants it to bring it a step further, for them to know, absolutely know, beyond any doubt, what God is willing to do for them, to have a knowledge of the truth, a full, accurate knowledge, knowing not only that you can do the works that Jesus Christ did and all the rest of the things He's told us, that you're righteous before God, that you have seats in the heavenlies, that God is willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. All those great things He wants you to know in your head and know in your life. He wants you to know it in your life. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is there for you. That He would not ever leave you or forsake you. He won't allow you to be twisting in the breeze. He will be there for you. He will work out whatever is necessary to take care of your life. No matter what kind of miracle it may take, no matter what kind of power it may need to, that may need to be exhibited, it'll be there. That's what God desires. And when we line our desires up with God's desires, there are great things in store for us. When we desire to show others that God Almighty is willing to take care of their need, that God will answer their prayer. What is it that you need? What is it right now that you need in your heart and life? Is it a job? Is it, you know, a few more dollars in the bank? Well, actually, you don't need the dollars in the bank. You just need what the dollars can get you. So quit fooling yourself. It ain't about the dollars. It's about God working it out so that you can have what you need. 9 times out of 10, it ain't with sending the money. Now, sometimes it is. You know? I mean, He didn't send you the money to hire the moving company. He brought a guy there to you. I'll move your stuff. Right? Tim shared a great testimony of how, you know, his desire to do music and have a studio in his home. And he's had a studio for a long time. Long time. And a man just decided he wanted to give him all this, you know, to like $12,000 worth of equipment. Recording equipment. Wow. Up, you know, the high-tech stuff. You know, not the stuff from 10 years ago. The current stuff. You know, just give it to him. Oh, yeah, I know I wanted you to pay for it, but I'm just going to give it to you. Wow. He didn't need the money. God worked it out. When we understand that God is so far bigger than our little pea brains, you know, we can stress and strain and try, oh, how is He going to figure this out? How am I going to figure it out? You know, you try and figure it out and you come to brick walls all the time. We all do. We run up against the brick wall all the time. That's why the front of my head is flat. It is flat. But every day God restores it again. You know, it's about letting God figure it out. Give God His due. Let Him figure it out. He's smarter than you are. He's smarter than I am. Praise the Lord. I mean, I guarantee you, if we added all of our IQs up in this room, God's IQ is still greater. God can figure it out. He's the one who desires this. He's the one who can figure it out. God, I just want to see I want to see multitudes. I don't know what that means. I don't know the number of a multitude, but it's a lot. I could say I want to see hundreds or thousands or... No, I'll use God's terminology. Multitudes. I want to see multitudes. Multitudes. And God showed me that. He showed me. You know, multitudes will believe. If you do it my way. God's desire. I want all men to be saved. Bringing to pass God's desire starts with doing it God's way. You know, God's way, it says quite simply in the beginning of chapter 2, it starts off with prayer. You know, you desire the same things that God desires, then start it with prayer. You know, and it's interesting here, you know, Timothy's a leadership epistle. Timothy's written to leaders. It doesn't mean that every truth is just reserved for leaders. There's a lot of great things to learn. Anybody, any believer can learn. That's God's desire. And every believer can know that it's God's desire to have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. To know Him. Know what He's willing to do for them day by day by day. It starts by encouraging prayer. I exhort, therefore, first of all. Okay, Timothy, you're a leader, you're in there, you're doing your thing. First of all, now I want you to understand, first of all, you know, it's kind of like, you know, knowing this first. No prophecy of the Scriptures, any private interpretation. It's another first. First of all, you get out there and you really desire to move the word first. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. Pray. For kings, for all that are in authority. All the leaders, all the worldly, it says pray for all men and then all leaders, worldly leaders. What the heck? What do you want to start there for, God? I don't know, just shut up and follow my lead. He says, first of all, do this. You know why? Well, there's a reason. Because if you're going to move the word, if we're going to join in God's, you know, desire to see all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth, then we're going to have to remain free to do it. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So when we go out this front door, there's not a bunch of, you know, blue lights out there. They're not going to, you know, grab us and throw us in jail and say, you will not speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. He desires for us to be free. And every believer, everywhere, should be praying, you know, for their leaders. You know, we have a new administration in our government. I don't care what they do. I could care less what they do. I'm not going to get consumed about it. Because I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to pray for our new president. I'm going to pray for everyone that he's putting in responsible positions. I'm going to pray for them. You know, I don't know if God put them there or not, but I know that God can honor my prayers. You know, there are some people that say, well, God, you know, that's all God's design. God put them there. God didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't in that voting booth. You were. I was. People elected our officials. It's our responsibility to pray for them, to stand in the gap so that we can continue to live our lives blessed and moving ahead with the things of God. That's our responsibility. That's where it begins. Look at Acts chapter 2, or 4. Acts chapter 4. Here's another great thing about prayer and the move of God's Word. See, this is God's desire, so we have to do it God's way. You know, I've been a part of man's way. To move things, to move ministries. I know many of you have too. And they develop all kinds of programs in order to move the things that they think are the things of God. Right. You know, this program, that program, door-to-door witnessing, bicycle-to-bicycle witnessing. You can use bicycles some days. Some people use them. Some people don't. Some people walk. Some people drive. All these programs. All these programs. And yet, how simple God has designed it. The program that God has designed is illustrated in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, you know, they had been out speaking about the things that they had seen and heard. They had seen Jesus Christ crucified. They had seen him buried. They had seen him raised from the dead. They had spent some 40 days with him in his resurrected body. And they had stood on the day of Pentecost and received the power of the Spirit within them. And they manifested that Spirit. And they went out boldly and began to share of the things that they had said. See? The things that they saw and heard. And they were met with opposition. And so, at this one point, they were being held by the officials, and then they were let go. In verse 23, it says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They began to pray. See, because they were threatened. They said, don't teach anymore, or we'll have you crucified too. We're going to put a stop. This is after the day of Pentecost. And the man was healed at the temple gate in chapter 3, right? Things were beginning to really happen. And the reason they were happening was because of what it describes here. They prayed. And the results of their prayer, you'll see. They prayed with one accord, one heart. You know, they were all on the same page. They all had the same desire. They didn't desire to build a ministry. They desired to show people who Jesus Christ really was. That God had raised him from the dead for their salvation, for the payment for their sin, and that they would be healed if they just believed. Their lives would be made whole in every aspect, in every respect. That was their desire. So they lifted up their heart to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You know, some people look at this prayer and they say, boy, those guys were pretty religious. And I've heard this prayer described that way by some commentators. You know, if they got the same results from one of their prayers that these guys got from this, everything would be fine. Everything would be just fine. You know, what's the best thing to do in the face of opposition in life? Is it to run away and hide, or is it to recognize God first and foremost? You know, the first thing you do whenever you're faced with a conflict, with an obstacle, you should remember who God is. Who is this God that you serve and you love and that has made you his child? Who is he? Holy smokes, he's just some run-of-the-mill God out there. He's just some deaf idol that somebody sculpted out of stone, right? No, he's God. He is the one who has made heaven and earth and everything that's in there. Yeah. Who, verse 25 says, by the mouth of thy servant David has said, what are the heathen raging for? And the people imagining vain things. Don't they know who you are, God? Well, obviously not. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus. The word child there is in the Greek, it means a child. It can mean a child, either boy or girl, you know, just a child. Or it can mean a servant. A servant. It's another, you know, definition for that word. Servant. Some of the versions translate it as servant. Like most of them do. Old King James liked child, so that's okay. Either one. But servant is good too. You know, Jesus Christ was God's son, but he had to make a choice. Who was he going to serve? Was he going to serve his heavenly Father, or was he going to serve the world? Was he going to serve the adversary? He had a choice to make right at the get-go. And when you and I choose to serve God, when we choose to make His desires our desires, we can expect the very same results. That's why it talks about Him being a servant here. Whom Thou hast anointed. God anointed Jesus Christ. And He's anointed us with the Spirit of God within us. Not with oil. I tell you something, olive oil never did anything. That's what they would use back then. I like this. But, you know, I mean, all the olive oil I have in my house has never healed me. It's never made me whole. Made me lick my lips and say, good. That's right. The anointing that we have is the Spirit within us. Just like He anointed Jesus Christ. He gave Him His Spirit. And that's where He began His ministry. That's where He had to make that choice. Okay, now who are you going to serve? Now that you have what you have, you're my son and you've got all authority. I've just given it to you. Who are you going to serve? You serve me? Do it my way? Or are you going to try and figure it out yourself and do it the world's way? We serve God. Just like Jesus Christ chose to serve His Heavenly Father, that's what we choose. Right? That's what these men chose. Right? And they were reminding themselves of the impact of that choice by remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Right? And remembering who it is that they serve. The God who's made everything. In heaven and earth. Yeah. The one true God. And He has made us His kids. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know, you already had determined that He was going to be the sacrifice for sin, God. You already determined that. So, you know, all those guys just fell right in line with your plan, didn't they? Sure they did. It was going to happen. Whether they crucified Him or took a machine gun to Him, they were still going to kill Him. Didn't have the machine gun, so they had to do it with the crucifixion. They were going to kill Him. Because that's what God had already predetermined, that that was the only way to make Him the sacrifice. They just carried it out what God had already determined. And they're remembering this, that, you know, God's in charge here. God's in control. That's the God who has made everything in heaven and earth is the one that they serve. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, verse 29 says, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. But not only just speaking your word. Not only that. Because that's just not enough. I mean, you can share the word. We all know a little bit of the scripture that we can share with people. But that is not enough. It never has been enough. Because without our heart believing it and carrying it out, it's not going to happen. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand, to what?
Heal.
To heal. To heal. This is what we need to see. People being healed. And where it says, you know, thy hand, stretching forth your hand. Look, Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, you shall do also. That was very plain. This is figurative. They just wanted God to empower them. They just needed for God to empower them to back up the words that they were going to speak. That was their desire. You know, is that your desire when you share God's word with someone? God, back it up. Let's go. Let's heal this guy. Is that your desire? Because that's God's desire. Let's see a miracle here, God. Let's see this happen beyond a shadow of any doubt that it's you, God, and not me, and not coincidence, and not, well, see, if you stick in there and be positive, everything will be okay. It's not just being positive, it's about believing that you are a son or a daughter of the God who has made everything in heaven and earth. And He will move heaven and earth to accommodate your need. That's a frame of mind that not too many people get to. But the ones that do get there have the same results. This, with these guys, they were there. Man, just give us the boldness to speak and the power to back it up. By stretching forth your hand. That's the authority of God. The hand of God is the authority of God. The power of God. To heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child. Again, that same word, son or servant. Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, great signs and wonders can happen. When you and I speak with the same kind of conviction that this is not only our desire, this is God's desire. So what is it that really moves God's word? What is it that really brings people to be saved? It's seeing something real. It's seeing something tangible. It's not just being afraid of something ethereal in the future, which so many people have made it. You know, I've heard many people in the past try and save someone by making them afraid of, you know, hell. That's not what God desired. That's not what they did. They didn't walk around the first century going, "Ah, there's a fiery pit awaiting you and you'll suffer there forever." No. They came and they showed a delivering God, one that was willing to deliver when met with believing. That's how we move things. That's how God desires all men to be saved. He desires for all men to be saved. Will all men be saved? No. But we will share the word with all. And maybe some will believe. And when we do it with this kind of conviction, we'll see the same power. Because that's what moves God's word. It's not you and I baring our knuckles to the bone, knocking on doors. It's not that. It's living our lives and taking every opportunity that we have, every opportunity that's before us to believe God, to trust God in our own lives, and then encourage others to do the same that they may see the same benefits. You know, God can do anything. He's God. Barack Obama's not God, nor is he the Messiah. Yeah, he may do some great things for our country. He may not. He's a politician. Let's not fool ourselves. He did not get where he is by being naive. He's a politician. We don't trust our politicians. We trust our God, our Heavenly Father. That's who we trust. Do we trust our country and our Bill of Rights? No, we trust our God. We trust our Heavenly Father. You know, I mean, some people think, well, this is the greatest country. God has designed this country. God has given us all these great freedoms. Yeah, I believe that in part, but you know what? He hadn't done it everywhere. So he still has to back up his promises, no matter where you live, no matter what country you live in, no matter what it is that you find yourself, no matter where you are, you know, either in China or Korea or, you know, wherever, South Africa. I don't care where you are. God is still the same, and God has made the same promises. So if it is He that we trust, if it's Him that we trust, then He will provide. Because God, He's not limited. He is limitless.
That's right.
And our desire to move His word has to fall in line with His desire to do it. His plan. How do we do it? We do it by manifesting the power that He's given to us, the authority that He's given us. No other way will work. We've tried it. It's superficial at best. You know, we need to see the power so that others can be drawn to that power. Because that's what makes it happen. That's our desire. That's my desire. You know, every day I think of the things of God. I think, God, that you would just open a door for me to speak and to show your power to someone. You know, and some days it's there and they don't believe. Some days it's there and they do. Some days it's there and I don't believe. But when we desire to do things God's way, there will be great benefit to our lives. See? In everything, God is there for you. These guys saw great things. That not only their prayer, they didn't just pray and then, you know, get thrown back in jail or something. No, they prayed. And it says when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They just went out there and they just said, you know, I can't help but speak about this stuff. This is the greatest stuff in the world. This is the greatest thing God has ever done. He's filled me with His Spirit. I have the ability to work the same works that Jesus Christ did and greater. He's called every believer to that. Not only that, I mean, not if you never even thought about or tried to minister healing to someone, even though you have the ability to do it, He will still bless your life with what you need. So it's not about merit. It's not about earning anything, because we on our own selves couldn't earn a blessed thing. And God is still there. God will take care of your every need. You trust Him. You trust everything to Him, casting all your care upon Him. Right? We were talking about that earlier. You know, to really cast your care upon Him so that you don't feel the burden of it anymore. That's really doing it. Giving it to Him. Oh, hey, it's okay. I know this looks impossible. But with faith, all things are possible to them who believes. All things are possible. It's your faith that makes the impossible possible. It was their faith, their confidence in God, the God whom they served, the one who made everything in heaven and earth, that made this available for them, that brought this to pass. Because that's all God desires, is for somebody to just believe Him and quit trying to make stuff up. You don't have to try and explain God. Just believe what He's already said He is and what He's already said He's done. We don't have to explain it to anybody. Why would He do that? Oh, you know, that's just because that's what He wants to do. Right? Right? Like Elaine said, it makes Him so happy to do these things for us. God just, He just delights in doing that. Oh, you want me to do what? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll do that and then some. How's that? That's our God. That's our Father. They saw great things. They spoke the word. And it says in verse 30, where are we? 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. You know, they all had the same desire. They all had the same motivation. It was to see God do His part. You know, that's all. Just to see God do His part. It says in chapter 5, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And that's what drew the people in. That's what drew them in. You know, that's what draws them by the thousands in India to the fellowships of the believers there. It's the power that they see. They don't sit through hours and hours and hours of teaching about the true God before they're willing to try Him out. They hear a testimony. Well, they see what God did for this person. Oh, wow, God, the true God. Not that God down there in that shrine, not the guy who looks like a monkey or the chick with the blue makeup. No. No, they didn't do it. Ah, but there is a true God, one that you can't see. One that you can't fashion a form to look like. And He's the one that has done these remarkable and miraculous things. And then they decide, hey, that's a pretty cool thing. God did that. God delivered you. I knew you. I knew who you were. You had a lot of physical needs. You had this, you had that. But God has healed you. God's delivered you. God made your crops grow when there, you know, was a drought. God did things. The true God. That's what brings people. You know, if we desire to see all men be saved, just like God does, and to come to a knowledge of the truth, then we will do it God's way. Mm-hmm. We will begin by prayer. And we will pray without ceasing, as it says in Thessalonians. We will pray for our country. We will pray for other believers. We will pray for the leaders. You know, those that have desired, you know, to minister and do the ministry. You know, there's leaders in the body. There are, you know, believers in the body. We're all believers. Some lead, some don't. Some are blessed, and others are blessed. Everybody's blessed. Yeah, but that's what it instructs us to do. You know, pray the doors of utterance open for those who are willing to speak. Pray that the believers have their needs met. You know, we pray. And we do it the way God has designed for us to do it. It says in Romans, right, that He's given us the Spirit to help our infirmity. I don't know how to pray for you. I don't know what you really need. But if you're on my heart, I'm going to pray. I don't know how to pray for an open door of utterance for a leader. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how the door is going to open. I haven't got a clue. But I know God encourages me to do that. How is my prayer for our government leaders going to help me remain free? I don't know. That's God's deal. God has to do that part. I'll pray. And I'll pray with the Spirit that He's given me. Because that makes perfect prayer. Right? Speaking in tongues, it's perfect prayer. The Spirit itself helpeth our infirmity, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. I haven't got a clue. But the Spirit knows. And when I speak in tongues, it's perfect prayer. If I speak in tongues just because I just feel so blessed, then it's praise toward God. If I speak in tongues because Wallace is on my heart and mind and I'm praying for him, specifically I'm thinking, boy, you know, why am I thinking about Wallace? You know, I mean, I love him and all, but gee whiz, I mean, you know, 3 days of him on my mind, what the heck's going on? We are close. But, yeah. But why? You know, why? Well, because he needs my intercession. He needs that. And God is working that. So I speak in tongues for him. I speak in tongues specifically for Wallace. You know, I've had people call me, you know, hey, you're on my mind. Just wanted to say hi. Oh, good. Just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks very much. I need that. You know? So really, when it comes down to God's desire, it begins in our prayer life with Him. Because prayer is believing. If you don't believe God, you're not going to ask Him anything. You're not going to talk to Him about anything. And that's what prayer is. You know, prayer isn't this thing where it's a, you know, it's a picture. Your hands folded, your head bowed, you know, your eyes closed. I'm praying. Are you? Are you really? No, I'm just thinking that, boy, they must think I really look good. Oh, yeah. We pray. It's asking God. It's talking to God. It's making your request known to Him. Yes. You know, you need something, tell God. He's got the answers. Right? He does. And it's our trust in Him. And it's the signs and wonders in answering those prayers that will bring others to a knowledge of the truth. See? You know, there's also another in Timothy there. I'll do this last verse here because I really want to express this. It's in here in the same chapter. 1 Timothy 2. You know, it says about prayer for the kings, all in authority. All men. For kings, for all that are in authority. That we may lead a good, quiet, peaceful life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, only one, and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Only one God and one mediator who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, all that we do points toward the resurrected Christ. All that we do points towards what he has accomplished for us in being the payment, the sacrifice for our sin, and delivering us from the bondage of sin. All that we do, every answer to every prayer is because of that and points to that. Every miracle that you perform out there in the world for someone who dares to believe you, when you say, you know, you can get up out of that wheelchair, you can be healed, you can be delivered of this devil spirit, you can be whole in every way, when they dare to believe you, every miracle points to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. Every single one. It does not point to you. It does not point to your fellowship. It does not point to your church. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he sacrificed to give us this kind of a life. That's why it says in verse 8, I will therefore that men everywhere pray. You pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, that expression, to lift up holy hands, just means to give it all to God, to totally surrender it to God. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you walk around with your hands up in the sky. You know, that when you get in church and you sing the right song, everybody's hands start going up. Oh, it must be the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I feel him. What I feel right now is like a baboon or something, ready, reaching for the sky. It's not about, it's about total surrender. That is the expression, when you totally surrender it to God. When you say, God, my desires mean nothing compared to yours. That now there is a greater thing that I am about. And it is about letting people know who your Son Jesus Christ is. And that he is the mediator between them and you, God. We have a greater, greater purpose in our life. And if we give it solely to him, if we just without one doubt, then we will see some great things. You will see great things. Because God needs those things to happen. He's just been waiting for people to believe it. And you know, Christianity has become a social gospel. It's not a social gospel. It's a powerful gospel. In the hands of those like you and I who believe God, it is a powerful thing. So let's never forget that. And let's just, you know, let's do God's desire first. All the rest of this stuff will come. It'll work out. It'll work out for you. You know? God has to work things out. Pray. And speak. And watch God back it up. All right? Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the way you continue to work mighty things in our lives. And God, as we continue to concern ourselves with your will and your desire, that, Father, we see not only multitudes of people getting saved and coming to a knowledge of your truth, but we see the way that you care about our lives, and we see great things happen. Father, we're thankful for every prayer that we have made to you, that you are busy working on the answers. But the things that we have received, we're grateful for, and the things, Father, that you have yet to bless us with, we're grateful that we have those things already. Grateful, God, for each and every person here in this room, and that their hearts are open to you. And that, Father, you will continue to fill them. You will continue to bless their lives as they live their lives before you as who they really are, your precious, precious possession, your children. Thanks, Father, for the power that you've given to each of us, that we may know you and help others to know you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Did someone speak in tongues and interpret?
Be blessed, my little ones, and know it is I, the Lord thy God, have called you and chosen you to walk a glorious walk with me and my Son, Christ Jesus. Have no regard for your own life, but only look to me and know in me if your strength lies. For I have lifted you up and out in this world and seated you at my right hand. I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Therefore, know and know of a certain that I, God, cannot fail. When I see your life, I see only my workmanship and what Christ did on your behalf. Therefore, continue to stand boldly in your hearts and mind in believing, and know that I cannot fail and I do not lie. Know that you have the victory in Christ Jesus as you continue to put on my word day by day. Be bold in your heart in believing, and ask me and expect those things to come to pass. For I, God, have set you, seated you high in the heavenlies with me, my Son, Jesus Christ, and know as you continue to come to me, you shall have the things that you desire. Be bold in your heart and know as you continue to stand at this day and time and share my word with others and reconcile men and women back to me and those that desire to know and inquire about me, that I, God, shall be there to answer all your prayers.
Someone else speak in tongues and interpret.
And my little ones, come to me and put all your cares upon me, for I, your heavenly Father, shall take care of everything for you. Be not afraid, but always come to me. Come to me boldly and ask me things, for I am there waiting to give to you. Be at peace and be of great courage, my children, and always, always put my word on in your life and believe it in your hearts, for it is the thing that I shall bring to pass. And always, my children, know that I love you and I will back you up in everything.
Someone prophecy.
It is I, your God and Heavenly Father, who has created the heavens and the earth. Truly, I have called you out to be mine. Have no fear of this world and the things that it may go through. Know that I, your God and Heavenly Father, has given you a foundation for your lives. That is my word. Stand boldly upon that word. Search it diligently every day, that you may know the promises that I have given you, that you not be shaken, dismayed, or turned, but that you can stand steadfast, knowing that my promises are true. I am your God and Heavenly Father, and I'm not a man that I should lie, but I stand faithful to my word. Know that you are more precious to me than anything in this world, for truly you are my children. You are the apple of my eye. Know and trust every day of your lives that I, your God and Heavenly Father, will take care of all your needs. Only look to me, for I am the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega.
Someone have a prayer, please.
God, we thank you for being our Alpha and Omega, for being everything in our lives, for establishing that you are not a man that you should lie, and that you cause us to stand and to be triumphant in this world. Of all so uncertainty, you are the most certain thing that we have. Thank you, God, for your word to show us your heart and to teach us how to live and be our best for you. I thank you for all our needs being already met and already done. And then we can go out and we can share so other people can get the deliverance that we so enjoy in our lives every day. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Wow.
Amen. Wonderful.